Hi, listening friend. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's March 19th, 2014. Let's see, four notes in front of me. Let me highlight a few of the upcoming events that are coming together before I have co-host Pastor Jason Schiffo join me in a conversation about struggles. We'll be thinking about struggles. And we're struggling to sell some tickets. Oh, I don't know how many we've sold at this point, but we're inviting you all to join us a week from this Saturday, March 29th, for our Community Appreciation Concert being held at the Virginia Theater, featuring Steve Green, Twyla Paris, Jan Mulder, and the Singing Men of GNN. And if you come early, doors open at 6 p.m., I think somewhere around 6:15, we'll have that mighty Wurlitzer organ being played. Singing Men will then come on stage, and then at 7 p.m., Steve Green and Twyla Paris will be on stage. And I think we're going to be singing five or six or seven different songs with them, and then they'll take over the remainder of the evening. So it's a great concert. We want to have you come out so we can appreciate you. General admission tickets are only $15, and they can be purchased by calling the Virginia Theater at 217-356-9063, 217-356-9063, or stopping by thevirginia.org, thevirginia.org. Both of us, I think I'm about 90%. You're what, 70, 80%?
It changes. It just depends. This morning I was not feeling well, and then a little Andy Griffith helped me out.
Yeah, and I think this was probably the first Sunday in at least a couple years, and then maybe
ever.
In all your ministry work
ever.
That you missed, not
it
feeling really
ever.
Well.
And it was the first Sunday ever, and the first time that I felt no frustration, I had peace. I laid on the couch there on Sunday morning and had utter peace that God had it all covered.
Yeah, that came together. Good service. Jake Barrett did a good job. He said, I just happened to have a message, a sermon in my pocket or a backup message. I kind of laughed. And he delivered it well and passionate. It wasn't having you there, but he did a good job. A good fill-in with a few days' notice. But he was all prayed up. And he shared some of his testimony, which I always delight. And that's what I think is unique about this radio ministry is so many times we have special guests that share their story, their life journey, the ways God works in and through them. And there's just nothing like a testimony. And so we'll get back to the struggles and how you prayed for the listeners in just a minute. Two more announcements. This Saturday, you have two options. Actually, you have many options, but let me focus on encouraging you to attend one of these.
No, you only have two.
Yeah.
You have to pick from these two.
Yeah, these are your two choices. You can head to Danville, and you can meet up with Steve Stymack and Randy Daniels and other Great News Radio listeners as there's a special concert being put on by Jason Crabb. And I attended last year. He's a wonderful presenter, loves the Lord, he's got a very unique gift of music ministry. He's a singer-songwriter, a great voice, heart for the Lord, but they're also raising funds for Haiti. And so if you want to be a part of that, head to the Danville High School. It's the Dick Van Dyke Auditorium. Doors open at 5 p.m. Concert begins at 6 p.m. And you need to purchase tickets. They're $15 in advance, $17 at the door. And you can purchase those at itickets.com, itickets.com. Or at Five Loaves, Two Fish Book Cottage in Danville. You can purchase tickets there. Or just call Steve Stymack at 217-304-2199. 217-304-2199. So if you live in and around the Danville area or you appreciate the music ministry of Jason Crabb, head out to Danville this Saturday night for a 6 p.m. concert. But if you're in and around the Champaign-Urbana area or you want to travel in, we have a free concert being put on by the Singing Men of GNN, and there'll be a free will offering, and those funds will go to Habitat for Humanity. So you can help support Homes for Haiti or homes locally in the Illinois area where Habitat for Humanity will be, I guess, partnering with about 7 or 8 United Methodist churches to put a house together. I'm not sure exactly where the location is yet, but there'll be a free will offering. But the Singing Men will be putting on a full presentation in their tuxedos, and that begins at 6 p.m. at the Savoy United Methodist Church, located at 3002 West Old Church Road, and that's southwest of Willard Airport, the U of I Airport, so southwest in Savoy. If you need the church phone number for more information or directions, call 217-352-3993. 217-352-3993. And then finally, if you missed Monday or Tuesday's edition of Mark and Friends, and I don't know if you got to catch it with being sick and all, but we had Lolita and Lolita Jr. on, and they talked a lot about different ways God's been at work in their lives, but specifically that Israel trip that we all were on about a year ago, and the life-changing impact it had on their lives, and how it really was foundational in Lolita Jr.'s life, because she had learned that there was a potential she would have cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And so throughout that trip, she was nurtured and prayed up and cared for and built those lifelong relationships. So when she returned home and found out, in fact, she did have cancer, she kind of got to lean not only into the Lord, obviously, but into these friendships. And I know you and many of us were praying for her. And so she got to testify on the Monday edition of Mark and Friends along with Lolita, because I think 5 or 6 weeks after that, her husband, Martin, was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And so she was dealing with that and just how God met them at their point of need. So that was Monday's edition of Mark and Friends, which is archived at greatnewsradio.org under our archive programs link. And then yesterday, it was a unique broadcast because I took two interviews that were done at WITY in Danville. I know the station manager there. He's a good believer. In fact, he tunes in a lot of times to David Jeremiah, and I interviewed that station manager on our station. He's a good guy, and so Dave Brown. But he had Jason Crabb interviewed along with my friend Steve Steinmeck. So I aired those 9-minute interviews during the morning program yesterday. So if you want to hear from Jason Crabb and what's going on this Saturday in Danville, just log on to our website, greatnewsradio.org, and you can hear that. So those are a lot of things happening. Lots going on this Saturday and next Saturday, and I hope you can attend one of the radio events, because we'll be handing out literature, upcoming trip to Israel, other things that the radio ministry is doing, and some of the program changes that will be in place in the coming days. So attend some of our radio events, fellowship with other Great News Radio believers, and then hopefully you'll feel a closeness to the Lord, because he's always there, because he's there with us and we've invited him there. So and so I was thinking, when you were talking and praying through the struggles that people have, the verse that came to mind, I can't cite the reference, but it's that cast your cares on him because he cares for you. Mm-hmm. And as you were praying that this program today would minister to the listener, would minister to their deepest need, there might be some people that are struggling or hurting or experiencing heartache. You just prayed, Lord, have your way, have your will, use the broadcast, use what's said and shared, use the scripture to minister to their core. And I just think that's an important facet that our listeners understand. We always pray for our broadcast. We always ask God the unique bring himself glory through whatever is said and shared, but minister to those that are listening. So I pray that that will be accomplished today. So, anyways, but that cast your cares on him because he cares for you. Just what a fantastic verse. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's important to know, I guess important to think about the fact that, and I think we don't do it, you know, I mean, we struggle. We struggle. Jesus said there'll be trouble, right? I mean, he wasn't lying. I mean, Jesus never came in during his time in ministry. Look, his ministry looked nothing like the ministries we do. When we do an altar call, we don't say the things that Jesus said when he did his altar calls. When he said his altar calls, you know, he would say things like, come to me if you want to suffer and carry a cross, and if you want to, you know, go to the place that I'm good. I mean, he would come and he'd lay it all. You hate your brother, your sister, you're going to have to hate everybody if you want to follow me. Ministry unlike anything that we do. And I think it's important that we understand that there's nothing that you're experiencing that I'm experiencing. I don't want to be trite in saying this, but there's nothing that you're experiencing, I'm experiencing, that we are experiencing, that we have experienced, that we will experience, that cannot be absorbed by the cross, that the cross of Jesus cannot handle. And for some of us, there are things that we're struggling with or we're keeping aside because we're scared. And that fear drives us not to bring it to the cross, but drives us away from the cross because we don't think that Jesus can handle it. Or we believe that somehow Jesus is going to bring us condemnation in it. Every single one of us struggle. And struggles, I'm just going to be honest with you, struggles, in my opinion, can be a beautiful time because it's a time when God will reveal himself to you, because God will bring truth. God will bring conviction. God will bring his Holy Spirit to bear upon your faulty thinking and your false affections, your false desires. He'll bring that upon it because that's what he does. Look at, you're uniquely wired and designed to bring glory to God, but you can't bring glory to God unless God draws you to himself. And so God reveals himself to you, draws you to him so that he can bring you a depth of joy. Listen to me, a depth of joy, not happiness, a depth of joy, so that you will then go out in the midst of all these circumstances and bring glory to God. And let's just be honest, I don't want to be trite, that's not easy. I mean, we all have a lot of stinking thinking. That's what my grandmother used to call it, that stinking thinking. You know, I'm going to post it on my blog. I usually do like a midweek thought. I usually type something up. I was up late last night doing some writing because God had really convicted me of some things yesterday. Not bad things, just moments where I was like in my own head, in my own space, in my own mind for a few minutes thinking I was reigning and ruling over my kingdom. And God goes, no, wait, let me remind you of something. And you know it's God because you shouldn't be sitting at the table or watching TV and all of a sudden go, Acts chapter 9, that shouldn't happen. I mean, you're just zoning out in front of the TV, you're watching the news, or you're doing something else. I mean, you should be all about, like my friends who are non-Christians are not doing that.
Yes.
Like they're not at the table eating lunch, and all of a sudden they're going like, Lamentations 2:12, I mean, it's not happening. So I was just thinking, and I don't know if you know, have you heard of Fred Phelps, Mark?
I've heard the name.
Yeah, Fred Phelps. He's founder of that organization called the Westboro Baptist Church.
I saw your blog the other day about him.
Well, I just made a little post about something that I saw on the internet, an article, but then I went back after some stinking thinking and did a little writing. But this week, Fred Phelps, who's the founder of the Westboro Baptist Church, is on his deathbed. They say he's not going to last too much longer. He's probably going to die in a few short days, weeks. We're not sure.
And I think your post said that he had been excommunicated from his church.
Well, that's what the article presupposes. Nobody's sure if he's been excommunicated or not. That's what one of his sons says, but he's unable to talk at this point. And prior to that, there wasn't much coming out of him that wasn't just kind of hate-filled. And I mean, the rhetoric that comes out of that camp is really pretty horrible. And I think all I have to do is say Westboro Baptist Church to the radio listener, and they're going, yep, I know who those guys are. But they're just notorious for their really despicable slogans that they have that are built around kind of their core anti-homosexual theology, but then kind of this God of Wrath theology. You know, they're well known. They've got this God hates fags, God hates the USA, God hates children, God hates this. They're the ones that are well known for, you know, children were killed in a bus accident. They picketed the funeral. They picket the funerals of soldiers who come back from Iraq. They came to notoriety in 1998 when members were picketing a funeral of Matthew Shepard. He was murdered because he was gay. This is prior to really this movement of the LGBT community. And so they went and they picketed the funeral. I mean, it's just despicable. I mean, they stand at the funerals and they with these signs and they shout while people are trying to mourn the death of their son who died, you know, defending his country or doing at least what he thought was right for his country. So when I saw that on the news, you know, I read the article and I quick posted it to Facebook. But then I was watching yesterday on the news and it came up. They had a quick blurb about it. You know, they said, you know, he's on his deathbed. And I said, good. Like, I said, good. Because I want to be honest with you. I don't like this man. There's a few things that'll just make the hair on the back of my neck stand up, and it's when a group that calls themselves a church and goes out and solicits a message of hatred in God's name. You know, Jesus came in love, and to preach anything other than is not to preach Jesus. And I just want to say this, as a pastor, I have led many, many funerals, many, many funerals for many good and godly people who went home to be with the Lord way too soon. I remember Tasha and I were talking about a young 10-year-old kid about 5 years ago. Jacob and I went and delivered Legos to this kid at St. Francis Medical Center. He had a unique kind of cancer that had wrapped around his heart, and he was fighting for his life. But this kid was, like, bright and precocious, and he was, like, going to make it. And he did make it for about 5 years, roughly. But, you know, a number of years after we delivered those Legos, I'm standing at his funeral. And I'm watching his grandfather, who was this, when I met him, Ron was like this gruff kind of farmer. And he always told me, you turned me into a hugger. He said, you taught me that hugging was okay. But I watched him crouched over the casket just weeping. And I just want to be honest. I mean, if I'm really brutally honest, because that's what we ought to be, I have a list of people that should have gone to be with the Lord a lot sooner than that little boy. I have a list of people that I'm like, Lord, take them home. They're grumpy, they're crabby, they're frustrating, they're irritating, they're faithful. But why don't you get rid of them? Because there's this bright, precocious, wonderful little boy who could bring glory to you in a way that maybe they won't. Keep him here. And yet he goes home to be with the Lord. So when I hear that Fred Phelps is on his deathbed, my first response is not one of sympathy at all. In fact, if I'm honest, like I said, it was good. Good riddance. And then about 0.00000 seconds later, the Holy Spirit comes crushing down with the depth of weight of conviction. And he reminds me again, you know, you're sitting on the couch and watching news. You don't expect to, all of a sudden, it's going to be like Acts chapter 9. But Acts chapter 9 says, now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here I am, Lord. And the Lord said, rise and go to the street called Straight, and in the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul.
Wait, this is Ananias?
This is Ananias.
Okay.
For a man named Saul, for behold, he is praying, and he has seen a vision of a man named Ananias come in and lay hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered the Lord, Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. See, if you were a Christian in the first century, Saul of Tarsus was the most despicable man in all of Israel. Acts 8:3 tells us that Saul was ravaging the church, entering house after house, and dragging off men and women and committing them to prison. By the way, here the scripture is kind to you and I, because what it doesn't describe in detail is the brutality at which Saul carried out his duties. He pulled men, women, children, the elderly from their homes, beat them, probably killed them, jailed many of them, and he did it with a smile on his face. He did it gladly. Furthermore, he did it under the authority of the highest priest of Jerusalem and in the name of Yahweh. So Saul is carrying this all out, and he's going, yeah, you know what? The church is behind me, and God is too. God hates Christians is what he was really saying. And this is why when God in his grace and for his glory tells Ananias to go to Saul, Ananias balks at the idea. He goes, wait a second, God. Wait a second. I don't want to underscore the power and tension in this moment. God is revealing himself to Ananias like he revealed himself to the prophets of old. And Saul's reputation is so horrible, so powerful, so despicable, that Ananias actually questions God's choice. He says, Lord, I have heard about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. It's as if Ananias is saying to God, didn't you know what Saul's done? Mm-hmm. Can I fill you in, God, on what he's done? For a moment, Ananias' humanity calls into question God's sovereignty. He says, God, are you sure you know how to pick him? I mean, that's a tense moment in the midst of God revealing himself to his people. What I love, though, is this verse. It's in 2 Peter, and it's 3:9. It says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. The Lord desires that none of us should perish. None of us. That person who frustrates you, that person who irritates me, those people who I'm like, Lord, could you send them home first? Because I know some people who are wonderful, who need to stick around a lot longer, and they're struggling through cancer, they're struggling through leukemia. Even the testimony that we heard earlier in the week from Chris. I mean, Lord, why her? I know some people who are prickly and grumpy and just otherwise irritating that you could burden and send home. Why? These wonderful people. Why, Lord? And the Lord desires that none of us would perish. Even those in the midst of what we might deem as despicable. Even the Fred Phelps of the world. Because you know what? My first inclination when I saw the TV was not to pray for him. My first inclination was not to reach out and to try and love on him. Pray for his family, to pray for him. I was like, good riddance. See you later. You know, glad we won't have to deal with you anymore. How much longer till the rest of your family goes the same way? And then God convicted me that none should perish and all should reach repentance. God's desire for Fred is that, and for each of us for that matter, is that we would reach utter dependence upon him, and we would declare in repentance and draw near to him. And in the interim, the Bible's really clear that the job of the saints, us, is that no matter how we personally feel, that in our obedience we would pray that way. We would pray for those people. I was reading an article in the American Conservative. It's an online blog, journal, magazine type thing. It's not a blog, though, because it's more credible. He encapsulated exactly what I needed to say. By the way, I just happened upon it, which is no happenstance, it's providence. God's like, I think you need to read this. But he says this, Rob Dreher says this, Can you imagine having come to the end of your life, verily nearly to the moment in which you'll meet God and be reckoned, and all you have to show for is this? I've always thought the Westboro Baptist Church people were despicable, but there is something about this thought of an old man lying on his deathbed, forsaken, a victim of his own sin, that makes me weep for him. One tear of repentance from that vicious old preacher will open the floodgates of divine mercy he spent his life trying to deny to others. He says, I pray without ceasing for that tear. And so I'd say to you today, listeners, that I'm asking you is that we would join this writer in praying for this Fred Phelps, not because we want to or we would like to, but because the cross of Christ calls us to do it. Friends, my hope and my prayer is that no one shows up to picket the funeral of Fred Phelps, and that that offers to his family the gift of grace and mercy that they don't deserve, that they have never extended to anyone else, but that God calls us to extend to everybody. And it's not because I want to, it's not because I ought to, but it's because I'm called to. You're called to something higher than you. We're called to something bigger than that. And that's the same thing. Because, see, this is a struggle right here, and this is maybe you're suffering with cancer. So this struggle, you're going, yeah, but I just, him? I mean, I got some big ticket thing. Look, at all of our struggles need to drive us to something that is bigger than ourselves. And that bigger thing that's bigger than ourselves is Jesus. Look, at I'm going to live on a good spin 90, 100 years. I don't come anywhere close to the Alpha and the Omega, to the beginning and the end, the one who encapsulates everything, who is omniscient and omnipresent, who is all-powerful, all-good, who is all-glorious. None of us, we're matchless to the glory of Christ. So we can lean in there, because that's way more than what we got going on.
Mm-hmm. And whether you pray specifically for this Fred Phelps or the Fred Phelps in your life, that person that's that irritant, that person that you don't like, that person that's much different than you, that person that's in sin, and that's all of us. Draw near to God today, friend, and he'll draw near to you, and he'll equip you to minister to those people. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.
Lord, I'm sorry for all the times I've let you down, and for the failure of my flesh that seems to keep me bound. Lord, I don't deserve your mercy or your grace. Please take this pain and save me from this place. Rescue me. Rescue me. Loose the chains from this prison. Set me free. I need to feel your presence once again. I'm ashamed of the places I have been. Please rescue me. I know it's been a long time since we've spoken, and there were many times my family's hearts were broken. But Lord, here desperately I'm calling out to you. Take away this pain and pull me through. Rescue me. Rescue me. Loose the chains from this prison. Set me free. I need to feel your presence once again. I'm ashamed of the places I have been. Please rescue me.